Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Moments That Made Me with me, your host, Roxy Nafusi. Today I am joined by the absolutely wonderful Laura Wright. Laura is a classical mezzo-soprano singer, mum to 14-month-old Ottilie, and host of her own podcast, Music in My Life, which I was a guest on last week and cried, and it was wonderful. And Laura was just the sweetest, nicest person. And I thought, I've got to get her on the show and hear her three defining moments. So thank you so much for coming on, Laura.
Oh, thank you for such a lovely introduction. It was such a pleasure talking to you about music as well. So thank you from me personally for coming on my podcast. Mutual love and respect.
It was so emotional.
I know, music can do that to us. I think especially at the moment, we're all a little bit on edge, I think, at times. And music is, it's a great way to let rip on emotion when you need it.
So Laura, let's go straight into your first defining moment.
So this was really, really hard for me because so many moments in my life have been about performances, about music. And I think actually if I go kind of, I guess probably like many of your guests, try to go right back to the beginning and think, what was that first moment where for me I felt like this is what I want to do, this is who I am, and I had that passion sort of ignite inside me for singing and for music. And it's a really kind of quite silly memory, I guess, but it was a moment in time where I was in my brother, I've got three older brothers, and my eldest brother is called Seamus, and he was driving me to school, and he'd passed his driving test, was very proud and a little bit cocky, and was like, yeah, we can, we'll drive to school. And I was like, yes, I'm going to arrive, in this horrible little car. But still, it was cool at the time that my brother was dropping me off to school. And we were singing along in the car, and I started harmonizing with him. So basically making up my own sort of melody that fitted with the music. And he was singing. And I don't know why, it was just this moment where I was like, this feels so good. Like this made my heart feel alive. It made me feel alive. And the fact that it was with my brother, I'm incredibly close with my family and my three older brothers especially. And so it was this moment where I thought, God, this is really cool. And there was no pressure involved. There was no expectation. It was just us driving, singing, enjoying music. And that was kind of, I think, when I decided to, kind of had a little chat with myself and thought, I want to be a singer. I want to be a musician. I want to be in this world. So yeah, it was quite exciting.
I love that. And not many people have that moment where they know what they want to do so young. And even if they do, usually it doesn't happen. I think most people listening will say what they wanted to do when they were at school is very different to what they ended up doing. So how special to actually have figured it out at a young age and then done it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think then, came with that as well as other things that, were hurdles that got in the way, and also learning about an industry that, let's face it, we all know isn't quite as glamorous as it looks from the outside. So I think that's why I loved that moment so much, because it was just really natural, and it was just me and him singing. And it was a moment where I decided, for my own kind of my own passion in life, and that was music, and it was my own decision. And I think a lot of the time, as we get, especially as we get older, decisions sort of happen and not are made for us, but sometimes it feels like that path is already perhaps laid out. And so this was kind of my own decision in that moment. And yeah, and I feel very lucky that I've gone on to become a professional singer and done some wonderful things. But I think that was just really special for me, and something also that I don't think I've ever told anyone about it either. So it feels like it's our little kind of secret.
Oh, I love it so much. And I feel like even just hearing you say it, there's something so wholesome about that story, and imagining you there in your car with your brother, and knowing that feeling of, you know, thinking you were arriving at school and feeling cool in your brother's car, and that all coming together. And the fact that it stuck with you for so long, I think, is just so lovely. And thank you for sharing that moment.
He wrote his own music as well. So he was that person in my life that when I didn't really know what I wanted to do, he was my inspiration. He was always the person who was, you know, locked up in his room upstairs writing music, going through teenage years, and obviously was quite a busy household with four kids there. But Seamus was always writing music. He was always doing his own thing. That's something that my mum always told me, was just do you, you know, and be yourself, and it doesn't matter if that doesn't feel like that's the right path that everyone else is taking. It's your own, and that's really cool, and that's good. So I think he inspired me with his own creativity.
Oh, love that. love family. So Laura, what is your second defining moment?
Okay, so I think, again, this is it. I suppose my three moments are all going to be, you know, music orientated, I guess. In fact, no, the third one's a little bit different. But for me, this was a moment where so I'd obviously made that decision to become a singer, but this was a moment where I remember I questioned absolutely everything that was going on in my life at that time. And it was when I went and did my first audition at Royal College of Music, which is where I ended up studying. And I just remember watching, I think it was a TED talk beforehand, about being vulnerable, being fragile. And I just didn't get it. I was like, what do you mean? This has to be perfect. Like, you know, they're going to test me. This is the most kind of intense period of your life. And I think when you're that age and you're looking for whether you want to go to university or not, whether you're going to get a place or not. And also, I think for people who might not know, places like Royal College of Music, Royal Northern, Guildhall, Royal Academy, they're quite different to other universities, in the sense that, for example, in a year, as in terms of singers, there would only be five or six singers, you know, there's not a lot of you. So it's a very intense kind of situation and environment to be in. And I think for me, this audition literally meant everything to me. And it was one of those moments where I had to kind of go, okay, if you let this get to you, like, this is, you know what I mean? This is going to be too much. And it's just, you're going to go overboard. But actually, when it comes to performance, it's something very hard to describe. But if you let yourself be vulnerable and be fragile, oh my goodness, the best things can happen. The worst things can happen too. But it was just this moment where I sort of almost went, do you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to do it. Whatever happens, whatever notes come out, that's what happens. And I stood there, and it was almost like I had this out of body weird experience, because I was so nervous, so excited. This meant absolutely everything to me. And it was not just because it meant so much to me personally, but I knew also the respect that came with a place, you know, getting a place to somewhere like that. I was lucky enough to be offered a scholarship there after my audition as well. And it was just this whole, I kind of can't really remember most of the audition. I just remember the feeling. And I think that's when you know that something's either gone terribly wrong or really well. I can't really place kind of where I was or what was around me, but I just remember this sensation of performing. And it was incredibly intense, but it was just that moment that basically set me on a path for the rest of my career. So it was really, really important to me.
When you think back on it, do you like feel those feelings coming up, those kind of nerves and everything?
Yeah, I feel like I get all like waffly with my words, because I'm trying to explain it, and it's really difficult to explain. But definitely, yeah, it brings back a lot of different emotions. But I think the overall feeling is one of pride. I'll be honest with you, Roxy, I'm a very competitive person. So
oh really?
As you know, I have three older brothers, so I grew up being like, look, you've got to get on with this or you're going to get lost in amongst, you know, whatever was going on. So yeah, it was kind of quite intense. But I think for me, that audition was really the summing up of all the hard work that had gone into it previous. And I suppose also what's different about an audition is it's not an exam or a paper that you sit over time. This audition is 20 minutes long, if that. So it's all kind of crammed into a very short space of time where you have to be on form. There is no other option. And it really is a test of character, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's a very kind of, as I say, very intense, but something also that I live for it. And it's moments like that that I look forward to, you know, that pressure in a sense is part of the career, I guess.
How long till you found out, like, the results?
Because they offered me a scholarship, they asked me if I would like a place straight after my audition. So you have two auditions. I have one, well, that's what it was like when I was auditioning. And you go into a second round of auditions, which is in front of even scarier people. And then you, again, sort of do your same performance. You might choose a different song. And you have a person on the piano who you don't really know as well. So you're kind of like, oh God, are they going to play it, you know, how I've practiced it? I don't know, I've just got to do it. And then I've had a conversation with them afterwards and they offered me a place in a scholarship. So I just remember kind of walking out of the room feeling like I was walking on air. It was the best day ever.
Oh. And then what do you think? Because I always think about things like this, you know, when you want something so much and then I feel like there's so much lead up to something like an audition or getting a job. I don't know, wanting to just achieve something that's been in your mind for so long. And then you get it. And then did you find that there was ever like, oh my God, like now what? Or were you just like, okay, yes, this is the start?
Yeah, to be completely honest, I then had a kind of moment where there was a period of time and I thought, yeah, what does this look like now? You know, what is life like at one of these places where everyone, you know, the kind of reputation preceded it in that sense? And actually, in reality, when I was there, I found it really, really hard. So I was, to explain a little bit about my kind of scenario going into Royal College, I had got signed to Universal and I sang with a group called All Angels when I was 15. So I got signed to a record label very, very young. And when I knew that I still wanted to study opera and classical music. But when I was there studying, I was very much pulled in lots of different directions because I was still trying to perform at the same time outside of college, outside of uni. So I found it a real struggle, actually. And it was a real balancing act. And at times I felt like I was prejudged because I sang, how can I put it, kind of crossover music. And then I was also learning in a world that was very straight and narrow, if you like, and classical. And this was the only way. And there was one path, and that was the path that you took. And so it was quite confusing, actually. And I had to, at one point, make a decision and say, I've got to kind of put all my eggs in one basket here if I'm going to go for this. I can't sort of keep, you know, trying to spin too many plates. And I just felt like I was being pulled in so many different directions. So actually, although I put that kind of place at Royal College up on a pedestal, in reality, those kind of institutions are very difficult to get on with. And that's partly why they create people who are successful in a way, but it's also partly why it can be quite damaging as well. So it's a real kind of mixture of emotions, I think, when you experience something like that. But of course, you know, that can be the making of you as a performer as well. I'm sure people would say the same of a job, in the sense that, it, like you say, if you have an interview for a job and then you start that job, actually that's where the real work starts, isn't it? That's where you've then got to prove yourself. So yeah, it's a funny old thing, those kind of places.
Absolutely.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss.
plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Wright, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast, Music in My Life. In this series, I'm talking to some amazing guests about their favourite pieces of music. We'll be delving into the music they listen to and why it shaped them throughout the years.
It's like intense. It made me feel cooler and stronger and harder than I was.
But the man on board had cancer, and that's obviously become a big part of my life.
I can listen to it now, reminding myself where I've come from.
He just completely lost it as we pulled up to the hospital.
You can find it wherever you found this podcast. Just search Music in My Life.
So, what is your third defining moment?
So this is something a bit different and something I think you might guess that I would have said, but it has to be obviously becoming a mum. And I don't think that's necessarily a moment. I think it's something I'm still figuring out, but it's definitely something that has changed me completely. And as I said, you know, I'm someone who is quite competitive and I can be quite up and down, I have to say, at times, which I think comes with the life of performing and being on stage and then feeling like you've done well and then kind of spending a lot of time on your own and then suddenly having to become a mum, be in one place for a long period of time and devote all of my attention and love to one thing was just incredible and amazingly emotional and just something that I never ever thought I could never have prepared myself for it. And I just feel so grateful that I've been able to become a mum, to have a supportive, amazing husband who has been absolutely incredible to be by my side and who loves being a dad. And it's just something that has changed me so much for the better. So, Aww. Yeah, and I think that's, I don't know, it's hard to put into words, isn't it? That kind of the whole thing, isn't it?
Of course. So in what ways do you think it's changed you?
I think I'm a lot more patient now with myself as well as with other people. I think I was always trying to sort of, I'm very good at kind of saying, oh, that's not good enough and that's got to be this way and just expecting a lot, I think, from, like I say, not just myself, but everyone around me. And that isn't the nicest environment to be in, I don't think, at times. Although I know that what I mean by that is because I want the best out of everything. And I think having Otterly made me realize that nothing's ever going to be perfect and nothing's ever going to be routine. And actually to just stop setting yourself up for that failure is really important. And also I think just being open to having moments where you just are completely vulnerable, I think are actually sometimes the best moments, and just allowing yourself to, you know, have no expectations and just to be and those kind of, and I think also that feeling of someone who just needs you and relies on you and you've got to be there for them. And that is, you know, that's your role.
Definitely. I mean, I especially love what you're saying about kind of having to remove expectation. And I mean, I certainly can relate to that perfectionist tendency, which I think you're describing, of wanting everything done to quite high standard. But then as soon as you have a kid, you have to let that go because nothing, you can't plan anything and you can't expect anything of them. And I think with the child, the best thing you can do for them is, you know, to give that unconditional love, which means that you don't expect them to behave in any way or for them to behave today the same as they did yesterday, because they won't, because they're changing so much so quickly. So you are forced to become, I think, more fluid as a person.
Definitely. It's so true. Like you say, it's that, yeah, that expectation. You just have to cast that aside. And I think also just being present in those moments. We've moved out of London quite recently and it's definitely allowed me as well to have that space. And I grew up in the countryside, so moving to London was always kind of that thing where it was like, yes, you know, I'm going to move to London, it's going to be wonderful and it's going to be busy and exciting. And actually now being out of London and having this time, especially at the moment, with definitely more time on our hands, the space that I have to have that time with Otterly has been really special, actually. Really lovely.
You know, for a lot of people, having the dads at home, because paternity leave is so short in the UK, it's like 2 weeks or something ridiculous. So for anyone having sort of with newborns or young children now, being able to have both parents at home to watch them, you know, in these early years, I think is so special, isn't it?
Definitely. And I know Harry's going to be absolutely devastated when that changes. Oh. I know he's just loving it at the moment, where it's that opportunity to sort of plan his own time with her and go off and do something. And, you know, I think those, and I said to him, you know, they're the moments that you've got to remember and cling on to. And actually, when we look back on it, rather than saying, God, how awful was that time? Actually, how lucky were we to have that time with her at the age that she is now. So
exactly,
I think, trying to put a silver lining on everything and a positive spin has been my way to get through the last year or so, for sure.
Oh, you've got it's the only thing we can do right now.
Definitely.
So I've got 10 quick fire questions for you, Laura.
Okay. Oh God.
First question is, what is your most memorable book?
Stick of the Dump. When I was little, I remember reading it.
Favorite quote?
Be the person your dog thinks you are.
Most influential mentor.
I absolutely love Brené Brown.
Oh my God, she's amazing.
Yeah, incredible.
Your go-to feel-good film?
Up, Pixar classic.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I know.
That's such a good one. A moment where you felt most proud?
Singing at Covent Garden Opera House, because my whole family were there. My grandpa, who isn't with us anymore, and it was just the best feeling in the entire world.
Oh my God. Oh. A song that cheers you up?
My wedding dance song, Otis Redding, That's How Strong My Love Is.
Oh my God, I'm going to listen to that. I haven't heard that one.
So good.
Top tip for dealing with stress?
Some Wim Hof breathing. I love it. I do it all the time now. Yeah, or just breathing in general.
You know what? Absolutely. That is the best thing you can do for stress. Your guilty pleasure?
Whispering Angel Rosé. So expensive. It's ridiculous, but it tastes so nice.
Oh
I really
my God,
it.
Yes. And you know what? Even just the sun being out, even though it's like 12 degrees outside, I'm like, oh my God, well, summer's here.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing you'd like to achieve in the next year?
I just want to perform in front of people. I'm keeping it very simple. That is just, for me, would be really special to have a live performance.
Just what you love.
Yeah, exactly.
And the first person you call to share good news?
Can I have my husband and my mum on the same call? Group chat.
On a Zoom. I would just like to ask as well, for anybody that's listening that is looking to perform or start a career in music, what would be something you could say to them, a little nugget of advice?
I'd say find people who have had that experience and talk to them about the best way into the industry. It depends what you want to do, but I would say now, what is amazing about our online world and the positive for social media is that you can reach so many more people than ever before. So if you love music and you want to perform, put yourself out there on social media and do what you do. And if you keep doing that, it will have an impact. And I think that's what's really exciting now, is that YouTube, you know, Instagram, wherever you want to put your music, you can. It's there, that platform. So use those platforms to your advantage. And I'd say just get some advice from people. I talk to lots of aspiring singers and I give a lot of singing lessons, especially over the last year. And I think actually, you know, just having those conversations, building those contacts is really important. But yeah, putting yourself out there has to be, really.
Oh my God, yes, I love that. Do you know what? You're so right about using Instagram in that way. And I think so many people don't, out of fear, but magic happens outside your comfort zone.
Exactly. Myself included.
Yeah. It is, and they are our most powerful marketing tools.
Definitely. And the thing is, you know, if you stay true to what you're doing and you keep bringing it back to what it is you're passionate about and you keep that thread along, you know, people will start to get you and start to understand you, and that will draw people in. If I feel like you're constantly trying to reach out and trying to prove yourself, then I think that comes across sometimes in the wrong way. Just do what, you know, you do you, put it out there, and the people that love that music or love that kind of vibe that you have will be drawn to that. Definitely. I believe
exactly.
That.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing your three moments. You have such a lovely energy, and I can't wait till one day I can come and see you perform in person.
I know. Please do. And I can't wait for that day either. But thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. Bye, lovely.
Bye, lovely. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.